wanna go down to the deep end and get back what's gone round and you've been keeping down the aisles between the rows. Ooh, yeah, I wanna go.
We're back.
Once again.
Movie Mayhem Podcast, your boys, Matt.
Brian.
And for Cruise Control, we got a special...
I'm taking it down a notch, too. Remember last week when I drank, like, the
energy drink that was
all sugar or whatever?
Right. You drank energy drink that was supposed to be for 2 quarts.
Right.
And you put it in your shaker cup.
Supposed to be for a picnic-sized pitcher I drank in my shaker cup.
Yeah. But you had some great takes.
I had some takes. They were fresh takes.
They were fresh takes.
Because they fresher just than bought the juice. Them up right there.
That's right. And joining us for the first time on the show, the homie who came to see my new apartment.
There you go.
And I was like, hey, you know, on Wednesdays we shoot the podcast. You want to come through? And he said yes. My boy Juan.
What up?
I've been friends with Juan since...
Big applause.
I appreciate it. Happy to be here. First time, long time.
All right. So when I do the awkward, like, hang on at the end, you know what to do then.
Yeah. Me and Juan have been friends since we were 12.
Okay.
Juan.
We've known each other since we were 11, but we've been friends since we were 12.
Right.
We
like, very good.
I would like to describe
it's
it that
important,
way.
And it's an important distinction.
That 1 year of, like,
I've said before,
friendship of, like, all right, I don't know about this guy.
I've said before that we were friends at 11, and Juan has corrected me and said we were not friends at 11. We were classmates at 11.
In sixth grade, we were menaces in different capacities.
Different spheres, yeah.
All right. I can't imagine, knowing him, a menace? I know.
I cleaned up my act.
When you're 12, you cleaned up your act?
When I got a job at the pool, I cleaned up an act.
All right.
But Juan, also a big movie guy, much like we are.
Yep.
He used to work at the Museum of Moving Image. Like me, he also took an introductory film course in college. Which
changed the course of my life.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Started looking at things a little bit differently. Like,
We didn't pursue that as a career, unfortunately. Maybe we should have. But
I don't know. I like eating and paying rent.
That's the thing.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the thing.
Would you rather be PA Matt Taylor or Dr. Matt Taylor?
Yeah. I mean, look,
Now I give up your whole...
As a PA, they're not using your full name.
Yeah.
They're just going
you guy.
Yeah. Yo.
Yo. Hey, man.
I think the official title is, when is the doctor getting here?
Right.
Yeah, so, but let me not hate on my PAs too much.
I thought we meant production assistant, brother man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Production, yeah.
Yikes.
No, yeah. Physician's assistants are just going to be...
It's fine. We can edit that out in post.
Yeah.
There's no editing on this podcast.
Yeah, notorious for not editing our shit because that's hard and takes time.
I don't have time for that shit.
Right. So, anyway, third week of Cruise Control. We're going through the eras of Tom Cruise. Not in order, because that would be
anti-Cruise.
Responsible. Yeah, true.
Tom Cruise doesn't do what you tell him to do.
Tom Cruise ain't order. Tom Cruise is chaos.
That's right.
Right? And we are seeing that with every movie we watch. I would say none more so than with this one today. We're going into what you described as peak Cruise, 90s
yes.
Cruise. Right? Which I thought Jerry Maguire was way older than that.
Yeah.
I did not realize this was a 96.
I thought it was like, for some reason, I had like 89 to 91 in my head.
You know why? Because this is what Christian Bale based his American Psycho performance on.
Right.
That's what I told you.
Yeah.
Because I was like looking at it, I was like, there is so, like that first half of the movie, I'm like, holy shit, this guy could be a serial killer.
Yes. That's what we were getting from it. Yeah. And Christian Bale also thought that and took it to heart. How insulting to find out that, like, your romantic comedy kind of breakout movie is what Christian Bale used to be a sociopath.
Well,
not even a sociopath, a psycho.
A psycho, yeah. I think, like, well, I think he, I mean, Tom Cruise loves movies, so he's like, that's great. He's never
to inspire.
He's happy to inspire the youth.
Yeah,
it was like, you know what?
Like, everyone wins Oscars because of me, not me.
Not me myself.
Yeah, not me myself. But, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. won an Oscar for this movie. Which was nuts.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He
best supporting actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an insane role that he, like, portrayed, but, like, also the Tom Cruise, like, tugboat of him just pulling everybody out of, like, their shells and their stuff in this movie. Unbelievable.
Well, we had talked about before about how this whole movie seems to be just like a way to make Tom Cruise seem less crazy?
Yes.
Really?
Because I like how you put it that way, because for me it was just like, Tom Cruise just comes off as fully insane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, very much, but like, he's constantly has characters thrown, like you as a viewer have characters thrown at you. And just say the give you bizarre whiplash. Like, when you first meet his fiance,
yeah,
right? She's like, "Don't stop fucking me." And then, if you wanted me to make love to a woman, I would. I'm not into that, but I used to be. You know, the way you wear jeans, or were in law school.
Yeah,
right.
That's their introduction to this woman.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's like, okay, I sort of see why he's with her.
Yeah,
but she's also clearly insane. Right.
Yep, they're like two sharks in a tank.
It was a weird, show, don't tell, but you didn't really show, you told it kind of as well.
Yeah.
It was a weird storytelling beat, weird narrative beat.
Yeah, it's two, these two type A personalities who are so super ambitious that they'd run each over if they didn't even know it. Like, they would just be like dust to each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tom Cruise's performance, besides being, I also like that it's, if you take Tom Cruise out of it, it's like, oh, this is like a real kitschy indie movie. Because like everybody, like no one is really like blown up.
Yes.
But then you put Tom Cruise in there, it's like Godzilla interacting with children.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not trying to crush them. He's like trying to help them out.
Yeah.
But he's just like, he's so overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
That's yes.
Poor Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, right? I think it could very easily be like an indie like rom-com if you replace Tom Cruise with any other act, like almost any other actor. Yeah,
you put John Cusack in that role, it's a different movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a rom com played straight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But with fucking.
Is Tom Cruise Cusack attractive? I don't see it with him.
I think he has.
I think
a
he's
vibe.
Not your type.
He's definitely a vibe.
I feel the same. I feel like him and Mark Ruffalo. I put them in the same
category. I'm with you on that one.
As like, are we sure he's hot? Or is he attainable?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal here? How is Mark Ruffalo?
I don't get it.
Right.
For Mark Ruffalo either.
I think it's because he
plays like this sincere, goofy character most of the time, which is what I think like there is the appeal.
He's the guy at the women's march that you're like, I don't know if he is a predator, but he's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I can't tell if that pussy hat is sincere or not. And then you find out it's like, yeah, kind of it is.
No, yeah, I think he is sincere. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they see the sincerity through him.
I think we're also just also jaded. Be like, what's your fucking angle, bro?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
No. What's your deal? Yeah, no, for real. What's your fucking deal, bro?
But actually, it's just us here. You could tell us.
Yeah. Is that acoustic guitar for show, or you actually know how to play that thing?
Mm-hmm. Right. Is it just hanging
play out? Something other than Wonderwall, real quick?
Throw down early Bruce Springsteen, or don't throw anything down at all. I don't want to hear it.
So Jerry Maguire, the story,
Jerry Maguire,
right? Because me and Juan had no knowledge going into what this movie was about. We had never
both
seen
you
it.
Born early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Both born 92.
92, so you were both children at this point.
Yeah.
Like quite literally,
4 years old.
Solid four, yeah.
I was 11. So I like, this culturally hit me.
Interesting.
So like, I was aware of what was going on.
Yeah, all the things that are culturally we took from this movie,
mm-hmm.
I think by the time we realized were fixtures, were already established to the point where you're like, we were too young to realize like, oh, this movie is making this happen.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of like, oh, this is what, like, this is why this trope or this kind of personification or character is.
Yeah.
It's because of this movie. Like,
it's like finding out where the gift came from.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right, and now it's become such a thing, so... the movie is about a sports agent, Jerry Maguire, who has a weird...
Who just takes a series of L's.
Yeah.
Who has a Tom Cruise moment in the middle of the night and then just starts losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. He just like goes full manic,
writes
a manifesto about the
state of sports agent.
Yeah. Agenting.
After an interaction with young, unmolested Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Before he was Nickelodeoned.
Before he was Dan Schneider'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Yeah. And,
R.I.P.
To Drake or...
None of them are
Dan
dead.
Schneider. and...
We don't know when this is going to be released.
Conscious of, like, I guess the... money first, like people second mentality that sports agents have, and wrote a whole manifesto to his firm about how things should be different. and they didn't like that, and they fired him.
Yeah.
And he lost all of his agents except one guy, Cuba Gooding Jr., Rod Tidwell. Tidwell.
Yep.
And kind of growing, against all odds, sort of growing to be the type of person that he...
wanted to be. Wanted to be. When he wrote that unhinged manifesto. There was
a time where we were watching the movie, and we're thinking, like, is Tom Cruise, like, never going to change or learn or grow throughout this film? Like, the issues...
I'm not fully convinced that he did.
Even at the end, right?
I'm not fully convinced that he did grow at the end. I think it was just, like, he had... No, Tidwell had a win that he was able to kind of just, like, ride the coattails of.
But that's what sports agents do.
No, I know, exactly. Yeah. It's...
But I like what you're going through. Like, what would you say was Jerry Maguire's fatal flaw in the movie? As a person.
As a person? Yeah. It's, a, like, an almost complete lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, it's helpful as an audience that, like, the fiancé tells him to his face, like, you can't be alone. Yeah, and that was a big theme
the bachelor party where they made a video directly to insult him.
Yeah, that was them telling him, this is gonna be the theme of the movie, and like he does nothing to break out of that. Right. All he does is just like catch an L,
right.
Get into a scenario, and then he just tries to latch on to a person, and just by virtue of his charisma, because he's super fucking charismatic you can see why. He had the world in the fucking palm of his hands.
And if he didn't jump on Oprah's couch, we don't know where we'd be right
like,
now.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, like, he was on his fucking game. Like, he was carried, like, it's very much, like, if you take, like, it was interesting, because, yeah, like you say, if you have that different, like, watching it now with, like, that jaded, like, Tom Cruise is crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're like, that's all you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, like, being able to look past and be like, yeah, he's crazy, but, like, there's even crazier people, and he's at least charismatic.
Right.
You know, he's somewhat agreeable, because you're rooting for him. Yeah. The crazy parts are just charisma. Because right. Anytime someone's like, this is my problem, he's like, I'm hearing your problem. I need you to suck it the fuck up and go make me some money.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what he says the whole movie in different ways. And, you know, we had touched on it before about how the whole movie tries to make everyone else around him so out of their mind, like
crazy. Making questionable choices.
Yeah, trying to make him seem normal. Like Cuba Gooding Jr., they made him even more of a character than Tom Cruise. They made him a caricature of a charismatic ball player to make Tom Cruise seem kind of normal. They made Renee Zellweger someone who fell for Tom Cruise upon hearing the story of him screwing up his proposal to his fiance and became obsessed with him.
Yeah.
Right? To make him seem more normal. His fiance, like you mentioned, also, like you said, another shark in the pool to make him seem like a fish that wasn't a shark.
Mm-hmm.
And just everyone around him is there to make him seem like a straight man.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that, like, especially on, like, his agent side of doing things. Mm-hmm. Even I was like, oh, you're a fucking dumbass. It's like this whole, like, handshake deal thing. I'm like, it's like any agent worth their, like, fucking, like, grain and salt would have been like, no, I need you to sign, like, at least a letter of intent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going through some shit right now.
Right.
And I could use
this. And they know he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, even like his deal for Rod Tidwell, where he was like, all right, $10 million for 4 years. I'm like, that's not a bad deal. Mm-hmm. That's $2.5 million a deal for a wide receiver in the 90s NFL. That's
pretty good. Wasn't that the final deal that they landed on?
They got 4 for $11 million.
The final deal was, the 4 for $11 million after like the, you know, the highlight performance. Yeah. But before that, because then they lowered it down. They lowballed into like one something.
Yeah, like $2 million over 3 years.
Yeah.
Which was like, that's wild. Like nothing.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's like practice squad money.
Yeah. It's crazy. But I'd say the main flaw with Jerry Maguire throughout is that he couldn't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And throughout the movie, he keeps acting on that impulse, not really change. People keep telling him, like, dude, you can't be alone.
Yeah.
You have problems being alone.
Like, yeah, you have to work on that, and all he does is find someone else who is lonely.
Yeah. And then, like you said, latches onto them. And that never actually changes.
He latches onto, like, the one part that they can't, like, get rid of. Like, if Renee Zellweger was just a single lady,
mm-hmm.
he'd be like, she'd be like, no, I could just leave at any time. Like, he'd be attached to her kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was more, and he looked like he was more invested in Jonathan Lipnicki, the weirdest kid of all time, in his, like, whole life. Because even when he came, he's like, oh, where's Ray? Where's, the, like,
yeah.
It's like, this is a weird, because it was on a bet, like, Ray had, like, unabashed, like, love for Jerry. Because he never, like, they even said, like, he never hugged anybody. He never, like, really talked to other men, like, after his dad died. And then, like, oh, he's doing all this fun shit with this. It's like, all right. So you now establish these emotional strings that cannot, like, if you cut them, it's the messiest fucking movie of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even, like, there's even a scene where he kind of, like, weaponizes it, too.
Yep.
Where he's having kind of an argument with her in their bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid comes in. She's like, hey, can I watch TV? And the mom's like, in a minute, let's finish this talk. And he goes like, no, let's watch TV right now.
Right.
Grabs the kid, puts him right in between them.
Yep.
Right? So that, to cut her right off. Pure sociopath behavior.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Cause like, it, and, like, the movie ends with him, like, they're just married. And, like, we're supposed to presume that they live happily ever after. But it's like, no, we've kind of just gotten to the point where we're like, oh, so we're all just going to ignore the big fucking glaring flaws in your it's like you're just going to live with them. Like, okay, you're basically going to stay together for the kids and so that Tom Cruise doesn't get scared and lonely sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz now he's going to be on an upswing because like after the whole touchdown incident where, by the way, I don't know what they're doing cheering for that guy after he fucking landed the safest bump of all time on his fucking shoulders.
Yeah.
All good. And then he comes up and he starts dancing. It's like, buddy,
that's
not great.
It's really
not a good look.
There's a constant irony running through the film of like characters doing like the almost classic, I would never do this. This is something I hate. This is something I don't want. And then they're put in that exact scenario. Yep.
Yeah, he even said, like, I don't want to, don't make me dance. Don't make me dance. And then he, at the end, he's dancing. It's like, holy shit, like, no, like, I think an NFL owner, like, a lot of people he would be eviscerated, like, by, like, sport, like, he wouldn't get that deal because of that.
Because of that. Because,
like, are you a football fan, or?
Tangentially. Okay. Like, I understand the game, I don't follow.
You don't follow? Okay, so, in this past season, Jameis Winston, who's the backup quarterback for the Saints, the last game of the year, he changed the play on the goal line. So they were winning, I think, 30-7 or something, some bullshit game. And he handed the ball off to his teammate who hadn't had a touchdown all year, who scored a touchdown. And then for the next 3 weeks, no one was talking about the playoffs too much. They were talking about Jameis Winston didn't obey his coach's thing of just taking a knee and ending the game. He broke unwritten rules. He was showboating. He was being selfish. And he's like, well, this is what the team wanted. I don't care what the coach wanted.
Mm.
And everyone's like, oh, he's a free agent, so I don't see what's going to happen.
What coach is going to pick him up,
man. Right, and then he signed with the Browns for 1 year. So he got the punishment worse than death there, signing with the Browns.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's like that, like, his action of, like, dancing in the end zone after having a severe neck injury, everyone's like, dude, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
Yeah. It was weird, a weird time to showboat. It was a weird time to dance around.
Right.
To break dance,
yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, the irony of, like, I don't want to dance, right?
She's like, oh, I don't want to be with your divorced women's group. Yeah. And then
she is hanging with
the divorced women's
and
group.
And not only that, this divorced women's group has to see this girl who the whole time has been, like, kind of shitting on them and how they're like, well, I'll never be like you guys. And then kind of rejecting what they're putting down.
Right.
And have Tom Cruise come and confess his love to her.
Right.
Publicly.
In front of them, publicly, in the middle of their meeting. Like, how shitty must that make them feel?
Should have put out, like, 8 guns and just all blown their heads up right there. Yep. It's like, you don't want, he's like, you're not getting rid of me. It's like, oh, so you don't want Tom Cruise.
So Tom Cruise is the one that's trying to keep this together?
Renee, fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off, Renee. So, I mean, but that said, there are times in the movie that my emotional heartstrings were tugged.
Mm.
They were tugged. Give me the old rubbing tongue at some of the heartstrings. that's how you say that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly, that's the emotion. The phrase. That's the adult way of saying
it. That's how it's used, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you were rubbed and tugged emotionally, so you got a happy ending at the end.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. That's exactly how the movie goes.
I'm sorry.
No problem. But, for example, when Rod comes out and he's talking to all the press, and then he calls out for Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
And gives Jerry a big old hug in front of all of it, because the two of them were saved, not because of anything Jerry did, you know? Because like
Jerry's not the one putting on the season of a lifetime.
He didn't really do anything. He had one client
right.
that he was unable to get a good deal for until the client took the matters into his own hands, played the best season of his career.
Pulled the dumbest move in sports. Like right. a lot of like the betting on yourself, especially on football, is one of the craziest ideas.
Yeah.
But
because no one's bigger than their team, no one's bigger than the NFL. Right.
And also it's such a dangerous sport. Like if you go out there without a safety net of
like a free agent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did it all.
Mm-hmm.
Many times against what Tom Cruise wanted him to do. The only twist I can try to see is that Tom Cruise told him to kind of find his love for the game again, and maybe that's what he did.
Right.
And he was like showboating and stuff, and that's what got him the deal, maybe.
But, yeah, I feel like that's what they were kind of sort of hinting at.
Maybe that's what they were hinting at.
Because, in that moment, but I think, if anything, it showed more like Q's motivations were never about a love of the game. It was a love of the attention.
Right.
Yeah. It was a love of the celebrity aspect of it. So, like, being rich is nice. But like it really is the admiration that he's living for.
Getting the respect he thinks he deserves.
I do also find that very hard because he is married with like two kids or three kids. Like he's got,
and he seems by all means like a family man.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, and you see like he's like the example Tom Cruise kind of like puts himself against, and that's why he gets like kind of upset that him and Dorothy aren't like clicking as well as they.
Yeah.
Like, even in there, by the way. What a tough angle in a wedding video to see your guy just like, oh, yeah. Jesus
Give
Christ.
The same look
Jesus.
That he gives when, like, he
when you're, when you're betting on German pretzel cutting at 3 in the morning.
just like right in half, man. Yeah, and it's like, and then he's trying, because I don't think Jerry's never really had a meaningful relationship. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, oh, so I like Dorothy this much. And I see you and your wife also like each other the same amount. I feel like I like her. Mm. Why isn't it the same?
Right.
Because even when at TGI Fridays, I guess they were hanging out at, where they're like, before the baby's born, they're like Rod and Regina King.
Yeah.
Are just
Marcy.
Like Marcy.
Yeah.
Are just like they're like kiss. They're like being a cute, annoying PDA couple. And it's like all right, whatever. And then Jerry's like, oh, I guess we should start doing that.
Yeah.
That's what real couples do.
It was the behavior of a man who does not feel human emotions.
Right. He's a mimic. He's...
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, and then...
He's still learning our human ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
He's an alien, just comes down. He at 2 o'clock in the morning, he took over Jerry Maguire's body. Like, this is what we should do.
Well, I mean... Could be, you know, because there was all that cocaine coating.
He was so cocaine coated.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing, but we're going to make it a thing because, like...
That high energy stuff?
Beyond the high energy, but also just, like, the general demeanor of, like, his interactions just have, like, this constant sense of, like, delusions of grandeur.
Yeah.
Like, it's always, like, he's always riding this high, and, like, it's because it starts off, it was really fun, like, when he does the thing with, like, the ice water in his face, and then he starts writing a 25-page manifesto. It's like, I'm sure you skipped something there. You skipped a step there, buddy. You don't write a 25-page memo.
Yeah.
And then, like, one scene where he's, like, he's at a restaurant. He's about to get – they're like, have lunch with – he's about to get fired.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, one second. And, like, I swear, it looked like he was, like, picking something up off the table, putting it back away in his pocket.
Yeah.
He had, like, a notepad. I think you're right. I think this was probably, like, written for, like – an 80s executive, like, you know, like Wall Street or something like that.
Yeah, like...
Where they have, like, high power suits and all this shit, so they do, like, bunches of cocaine.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it led to his downfall. And then... Yeah, because, like, yeah, especially in the restaurant scene where he's, like, all right, like...
And he always has this... And, yeah, I mean, it could be part of the cap, but he always has, like, this desperate energy to him.
Man, sweating all the time.
He's sweating all the time. It's always like this desperate, like, yeah, again, like he's on the ropes for the point for the whole movie, but it's still very much like, even the way he's constantly handling it, it's just like the constant, like, can't think more than like 5 seconds ahead of himself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like you're right. I think maybe they originally wrote it for this guy was addicted to cocaine. It led to him have like an epiphany of like seeing like who he should be.
Yeah,
like he had like kind of like a bad trip. Oh, I don't know how cocaine fucking works.
No, I think it's very much. It's a very much one of the moments where he thinks like he has like some sort of moment of clarity.
He like his crisis of clarity. Like he goes there and then like that starts his downfall. So, but then he starts going, because even after he wrote it, he's like, ooh, I don't know if everyone likes it and stuff. Yeah. And then he has a public freak out in the middle of his office.
Mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to, like, just go down. But I think what stopped it is Tom Cruise goes, I'm not a fucking drug addict.
Right.
This is all natural.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, you know, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think the cocaine would honestly diminish your...
I think it
would
slow you down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when they give a kid ADHD, like, Adderall.
Yeah, exactly. So... yeah, I think that's all. Honestly,
yeah, I agree. Like, he was probably written that way originally, like to have like it be much more like apparent that there was like a drug angle.
Yeah,
just because like it gives off so much of that, like every moment of like that's what tinted his interactions a lot more for me. Like aside from like the emotion, like his emotional disconnectedness felt separate from that. Like it was like he doesn't care about other people's feelings, but that's just because he's not really paying attention to other people's feelings. Like, there was this constant theme of. He is the center of his universe and the universe. Like, anytime he constantly interrupts people in conversation.
Yeah.
Like, nobody can get, like, more lines in a conversation than he can at any point.
Mm-hmm.
He's always got to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, and yeah, that's probably also the character, but it's, that's kind of like one of those things. Like, it's, he just leeches on, like, in this very desperate way.
Yeah.
That's also separate from his personality almost.
Do you think now with the cocaine coated mind, you take that divorced ladies group and you put it into AA or an addiction group, like a rehab group. So maybe Bonnie Hunt, Laurel.
I knew it was Bonnie Hunt.
Yeah. Laurel is not like, she is Dorothy's sister, but he's like, I went to this group to talk out my problems. And then also just happenstance is that Laurel knows who I am. Dorothy is figuring it out. Kind of like, that's like also...
Yes, that's...
She's
that's,
running this, yeah. So she knows...
This is, yes, that's exactly what it felt. I think that's a really good comparison for it. Because, yeah, Bonnie Hunt had, like... Bonnie Hunt was, like, the omniscient, passerby. Like, she was just there, like, hey, I see exactly what's happening from a mile away.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you what's happening.
Right.
But I'm going to give you the autonomy to make your...
Make
choices.
Your mistakes. Yep. Yeah,
make your choices, make your mistakes. But like, he's desperate. Nobody does that. Just shows up at your house in the middle of the night after hiring you.
Right.
Especially drunk and like, so like, drunk. Tom Cruise has never been drunk in his life. Cause that was as many times as I've been drinking, I've never done that. I've never walked into like constantly.
The other thing that we were talking about, how the movie kept putting things extremely low so that Tom Cruise could bump into them.
What is this myth of Tom Cruise being tall enough to
what are you talking about?
To get caught on things.
How low can that light be that 5'5" Tom Cruise is bumping his head on it?
Foundation's built 6 feet under the
house. Yeah, you got Jonathan Lipnicki in the rafters like holding this thing down. Try to get Tom Cruise to hit his head on it.
How do you have Cuba and him on an eye line?
Yes.
Matching eye lines.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're walking like outside of
They did the Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah,
it's like
forced perspective.
He's like hugging from fucking 10 yards away.
Yeah. They're walking together and he has to pull Tom Cruise's head down so that crane doesn't hit it.
Right.
Crane is short enough to hit Tom Cruise's head? Why are they doing this? Why are you trying to gaslight me into thinking that Tom Cruise... and you establish that Cuba's 5'11", and you call him Shrimp.
Right, anytime someone's calling you Shrimp, I'm the one defending you. Are you? I don't know.
Ugh.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
That is so fucking... The amount of, like, Tom Cruise, the tallest man in the room.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, when he's in the office, and he's, like, kind of, like... He's towering over the cubicles. It's like he is so on a fucking box.
Oh, he's got
and
us.
No one's standing around him. The only people who are around him are sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
It's, oh man.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yep.
The amount of
and of course him doing his own stunts.
Oh yeah, like when he fell during that speech in the beginning.
Yep.
That was all Tom. That was all him.
Those runs in the hallways and the empty airport.
Beautiful. Beautiful running.
Great Tom Cruise run.
Great. He just fucking got locked in, man.
Yeah, you can see it was raw, too. He hadn't like fully refined the run yet. It wasn't
this
was
before Mission Impossible, too, so he didn't really find his stride yet.
Yeah, his stride. It's literally. It's little. He didn't find his stride yet. But,
oh, my.
Yeah, but, yeah, no. It was, still a good movie.
I think that's also the thing. I think like there's a power to Tom Cruise, especially in this, like, you want, like, he's presenting everything that if we've seen in other movies, we'd be like, I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's got a punchable face. He's smiling at things. He's kind of like...
His eyes are dead inside.
His eyes are, like, you just... He's like, no, he's not even, like, a human. You're like, I don't think I like this guy. But then, like, he just kind of not wears you down, but you're like...
He just has such a strong charisma. You kind of, like, it's like, your choices are to resist.
Right.
Or just kind of let it happen.
And then, he has small beats, like, when he was talking to Jonathan and Nikki about, like, their fathers. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I understand why he's crazy now. It's like, oh, like, he'll let you in a little bit. So you're like, yeah, you're not too bad. You're all right.
Yeah. And then even the kid that was like...
Because he was interrupting the fuck out of the kid.
Yeah. Right.
Like, the kid was trying, I was like, oh, you should probably let a child speak. Nah, fuck you. This kid's going to learn about my damage.
Right.
You're a new person I could put my emotional baggage into.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. The poor kid just wanted to go to the zoo.
Right.
He was like, yeah, kid, the zoo's closed. But you know what's not? My mind. Let's talk.
You know what's not? Your mom's legs.
Yay. Hey.
Oh, the Church of Scientology is still open. Let's go.
Yeah. Also, what's the deal with Chad?
Oh, he's just, that's what I'm saying, like, he's one of those weird, like, mid-90s rom-com, like, side characters.
Mm-hmm. Loser side characters.
Right, to make your leading man look more manly.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It's all just to make Tom Cruise, one, seem more manly, two, seem less off his rocker.
Right.
Like, but I think it's not just for Tom Cruise. I think, like, it is a rom-com trope, yeah. I think, because I'm thinking back, like, not another teen movie. Yeah. Like, the girl's best friend was, like, the peak of that loser guy hanging around.
The asexual male character who is not a romantic rival to Tom Cruise.
He's not asexual, but he is not, but you're right, he's not a romantic rival.
Not for lack of trying.
Right.
Exactly. Like he very much gave off that, oh, I sure hope she'll see the good guy right in front of her.
Yeah.
It's like, Tom Cruise is about to clap. Please play my jazz for her
take care of her.
And then he did.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a power move.
Right?
Or what?
And then he insulted it. Yeah. He's like, what the fuck is this?
This is bullshit. Miles Davis.
I also love that scene where they're like saying goodbye to each other and they're like 50 fucking handshakes and like hugs. And it's either Tom Cruise was like, no, this isn't good enough for me because there's no like audio to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just like, let's just make it weird, pal. Like, let's just go real weird with it.
You know what to do.
It's like, all right, shake hands. All right, I'm going to look weird. Now you look weird.
Speaking of, like, weird goodbyes outside that girl's house, after that first date, when he's like, oh, yes, well, good night. Oh, good night.
Mm.
Oops. Broke the straps of your dress there. Better go ahead and in the middle of the street in your neighborhood, try to, you know, suck on some titties. To get that strap back on.
Yeah, that's that cocaine cowboy, Tom Cruise.
Cocaine cowboy activity. Yes.
Fuck it. I was
Thank
like,
you for reminding me of these things. I'm like, there's definitely more to this cocaine coating.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. Like, when that started happening, like, I was like, did I miss something?
Right.
I was like, should I rewind and go back? Or just, like, I have to kind of, like, just move forward.
Bro, like, look, I say this as an ally. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good preface to know.
Right.
That what By I'm the gonna way, say is
still allies.
Still allies, guys. What a weak character, Dorothea.
She does not qualify.
No.
For our heralded and most maligned topic.
Yes.
Fleshy woman
test. So we have a test to see if a woman is a fleshed out character. Yeah. Right.
And we call it the fleshy woman test.
We call it the fleshy woman test.
Fleshy woman. Yeah.
You know, to see if.
Yeah, Laurel, fleshy woman.
Laurel, 100%. Laurel, very fleshy.
Yeah, Laurel's cool.
I even think...
Even Marcy.
Marcy and also Kelly Preston, his ex-girlfriend. I think...
Yeah, she's a career-driven woman.
Yep.
Established, confident. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want this loser bringing her down.
That's right.
So she leaves.
Right.
Normal.
A little vindictive, though. Because, like, why is she always hanging around Sugar for the rest of the movie?
Or Dennis, or whoever his current antagonist is.
Isn't she in a different fucking,
what
like,
does she do?
Industry?
I think she works for the NFL.
Oh, because I thought she worked for the fucking RNC because she was, like, dropping pamphlets at some shit that looked like a Republican convention.
I think she works for the NFL's like PR relations team.
Yeah. Okay.
Because she's doing like she's dropping off draft folders and shit like that. I'm like, all right, because like I've watched the like I'm a big football fan, so I like I kind of know like I've seen people do this through like years, and that's why like that draft thing is so ridiculous. Like you would never see a tenured NFL player showing up at the draft. It's like it'd be like if you were graduating high school, and then like the guy who graduated the last year before just starts showing up and like, "Hey, Teach, how's it go?" But like he's not related to anybody,
right?
Who's graduating?
There was a little bit of like, of surprise there where it goes from like, "Okay, we got to get you to the draft." Mm-hmm. To listen, I'm trying to ride out my career the next 5 years.
Right.
It's like, wait, what? Weren't you just at the draft? And then I realized like, wait, this guy's been playing football.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. He like. Oh yeah,
it makes sense why Rod didn't want to go to the draft.
Right, he's like, I don't want to work. I was like, I don't want to walk this. I don't want to do that. And like, yeah. I get that. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that makes 100% of sense.
Yeah.
Because but what doesn't make sense is that if he is the leading receiver on your team and you treat him like dog shit, you're kind of getting what you pay him. Like,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, the main thing is that they didn't like his attitude.
Right.
Right. But dude was, he seemed like an Ocho Cinco type.
Yeah, and I think there's the personality divides in football where it's like the quarterback is the stoic leader, the one the guy you want to have like as the face of your franchise. The running back is the guy who's got his nose in the dirt, who grinds and does he's in the gym every day working to make himself better.
Yeah.
The receivers are the divas because it's a different set of rules for them compared to like the linemen or like the linebackers. Like it's. So like that is trope football right there. Yeah. But like he was running slot and going in
he
was getting his head taken off. Like that guy does not have a personality. He barely has brain cells.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like it feels like he was right the whole Cuba was pretty much right the whole time. Like you were saying like it's kind of fucked up. Like he's very good. Like he's kind of a dick, but like. That's kind of like that's not new. That like someone who's among the best at what they do is gonna demand a certain level of respect in that industry where they're doing the best where they're doing their best. Like it makes sense. Yeah, he's gonna be a little bit of a deal, but like that's you're a sports agent,
right?
Like you work with these personalities. That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could write it off as like, oh, that's his charm. That's what makes him better. That's what makes because he's striving to be great and he demands it.
Yeah, it's like, why don't you guys just give him like just give him a little more recognition, make him feel good.
He may not even need as much money if he had the recognition.
Right. Yeah, like call him one of your star players. Like that's it. Stop fucking and putting him in these dangerous ass fucking plays.
They keep saying like, oh yeah, like well he's. He doesn't get along with people in the locker room, and he's always complaining and stuff and this and that. But, I mean...
By the way, locker room environment, terrible.
You mean all the naked
dudes? All the naked dudes?
Yeah.
Show some respect for the sports reporters.
For the reporters, at least, right? But, yeah.
One dropped the mic.
Yeah. Just hoping she picks up the right one.
He's like, okay. Just trying to pick it up with her eyes, like, looking
at the respectfully not looking.
But yeah, no, it's the whole thing is like if you kind of sucked, I can understand why people are not like giving you the respect you deserve.
Right.
Right. But if you're good, then what exactly is he being a diva about? Is it just getting paid?
I think it's just getting paid.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see it then.
Which I fully support. He should have been paid.
Yeah.
I mean, also, it's not like. He was asking for a lot, either. It was a 4-year deal. That's nothing. Because he seemed to be pretty young, too.
Yeah.
So, they were making much worse deals. They were signing, like, Dan Marino to, like, an 18-year deal in Miami. Like, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, and the whole thing was, like, the first time you see him play, like, the coach, Dennis, was like, he's having a good game, right? And then it only continues upwards from there, but it seemed like his stock in the team was getting lower.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Which didn't make sense to me.
We don't like him, so we're going to throw the ball to him 25 times a game.
You know what I mean? This guy's getting looks.
Yeah.
They even said, like, at the Christmas game, like, oh, made it all the way this far in the season due to the efforts of Rod Tilwell.
Right.
You know?
I think, it's also the thing is, like, it was, I think the football aspect of it was, like, looked at, like, all right, like, I wish it, like, mirrored, like, Jerry's fucking, like, story arc, where it's, like, here's Rod. I think they should have made him older. I don't think Cuba is too young to play like this. Like, oh, I got a shelf life here. It's like,
right.
You kind of like, you have to do.
Yeah, like, he still looks like he's at his peak there.
Right. Like, yeah. If like you have to kind of like do Any Given Sunday, where it's like Dennis Quaid's like, oh, he's actually 50 and he's still playing football. I don't like this. Like, because you have to kind of make the contract seem like he could probably go, like year to year if he wanted to. Like, he's that young, but like. You have to be like, all right, he needs this deal.
Right.
So if he was a little bit older, and then, like, you could see, like, here's Jerry starting out on his own, but, like, Rod is betting on himself. So, like, there's the two, that parallel of, like, they're on their own island. They're on their, like, way to, like, this could fuck up my whole career, might fuck up my whole life kind of thing. But then you see, like, Rod keeps getting better, and he's, like, but he's committing to what he's good at. Like, he's committed to being... What makes him good is being a diva. What makes him good is being a good family man. What makes him good is being loyal to Ari Spears, his weird brother.
Yeah.
Who's just like, oh, he sucks on Monday.
His biggest hater.
Right. Yeah. and then that's what makes him good. And like Jerry's like, well, what makes me good? It's like not listening to anybody. That's a great question. just bulldozing everybody in my way.
I guess.
Yeah. But all right. I know we've kind of been dancing around. Let's talk a little bit about performances a little bit.
Okay.
Because we're about the 40-some-odd minute mark.
Regina King.
Regina King, queen.
Always.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The range on Regina King.
How we mentioned it right away.
What they did to that poor woman in the wig department.
Oh, Lord.
Is an absolute fucking crime. Lord. And I feel like I felt like... This isn't something I normally feel anything about.
Right.
But, like, the first shot, she's in this fucking oversized, like, oof, church wig.
Yeah.
I was like, what the... And, like, crazy. Against, like, this fucking, like, the biggest, like, painted painted background where... Yeah. Also, that shot didn't even look like the three of them were in the same room.
Yeah. Probably.
It was just three reverse shots.
Yeah, no shot had more than one of them together.
But, like, that... Yeah, Regina King put on a clinic. Yeah. As always. Like, she... Fantastic dynamite range, like her character, fleshy.
My favorite thing is when she is, I don't know, 25 minutes out of having a baby, just jumps up and drop kicks a guy because he's like a little bit mean.
Oh, yeah,
she's get out, flop, wham.
Was that before or after? She didn't already have the baby?
She had the baby.
Oh, she was like 25 minutes removed.
From the baby, She just had, like, the fucking baby still, like, it's not even a thing. It's just a thing in a blanket. And it's just like, jumps up.
I kind of get it, though, because Ari Spears was being really rude.
I know, but, like, she, like, jumped up real fast.
Yeah, and got up to, like, grab her.
But, yeah, she was, like, this crazy, like...
She did her own stunts, too.
Yeah. Because she has, like, this great, like, kind of, like, thing of, like, hitting you, like, right in the nerve where it's, like, I understand everything, every feeling she is feeling.
Yeah.
Where, like, even if she's not saying, like... She's not spelling it out for her, but, like, the way she, like, look at you, the way she'll kind of, like, raise her voice, the way she'll, like, turn her head. And you'd be like, oh.
And the way she relates herself to, whoever she's interacting with. Like, they're very much, like, a lot of scenes. Like, I'm thinking very much, like, the one with Cuba, like, at the end, like, where she's, like, holding him, like, by the face and, like, giving him, like, the pep talk of, like, like, things like that. I agree. Yeah. Like, very much, she's really good at getting you into, like, her mentality. Like, okay, this is what this is what her character is thinking. This is what she's feeling. She is a family woman devoted to her husband. Like, sure, she can be a little bit much sometimes, but it's all coming clearly from a place of love and trying to support her husband.
Right.
And, like, trying to make the most for her family.
She's anti-McGuire. She's, like, that's, like, if you put her in the lead, like, that's a fucking, like, powerhouse. Like, she would have won an Oscar for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised she wasn't even nominated.
Well, I mean,
it was the 90s and Regina King.
No.
It's a crime. And I was also like, I can only imagine how many fucking, like, films she worked on where it was like that, where she would, like, just, they put her in, like, the wildest, most disrespectful wigs.
Yeah, the wig was an insult. Yeah.
Let's go to
My thing is, she had a full head of hair. They showed it for the second half of the movie.
Right.
Why didn't you just let her stay like that?
I think, well, costume design, Betsy Hyman.
Sounds about right.
You bitch.
But it's Betsy Hyman, no.
But I think Bonnie Hunt was great in it. I liked her.
Yeah,
Bonnie Hunt she was a great, like, voice of reason, kind of like, hey, please don't do this. He's clearly not well, and you aren't great either.
Yeah.
Like, you're both damaged. Don't be damaged together.
Yeah. Well, now pick a dress.
Yeah, but if you're gonna do it, we're gonna do it right.
Right. No, yeah, it's okay. So only one Oscar win for this fucking movie. But it was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, Best Picture, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Writing Screenplay. I don't know about that. Mm. And Best Film Editing, but it only won for Cuba.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I would agree. The writing was interesting.
Suspect.
The line at the beginning where they. We were just like, the writer who thought of that thought he was fucking on something. It was so stupid. It was like a line about like money, I think? No.
I mean.
He did the thing where it's like, I'm going to say this, but then I'm going to rearrange the way I said it to make it sound deep.
Right.
And it was just like, shut the fuck up. That is the stupidest, most tenuous way you could have done that. And it's terrible. And they tried to do it like 3 times in the movie, I feel like.
Yeah. It was funny because they probably didn't expect Show Me the Money, You Had Me at Hello, Help Me Help You, and You Complete Me. They probably didn't expect any of those to land.
I think they wanted Show Me the Money to land.
Show Me the Money was like they tried so fucking hard for that one.
That's true. Show Me the Money probably. But there were like so many others that, like you said, he would just simply like change the syntax of a sentence or make like a little alliteration and like pause for a second.
It's really like pause for applause.
Yeah. It would be like, I mean, I guess that's
just a lot of people in the movie are going, yes.
Right, yeah.
It's like, this movie's deep.
Yeah. Themes. Stuff. They're saying things.
Like, I mean, I guess that's a bar.
Was it Kelly Preston, who, RIP, she's actually dead. I think, because, like, a lot of her roles up to this that I have seen has been, like, she's that, like, nice kind of lady. She's, a sweet, like, kind of, like, motherly character, but this, like, seeing her kind of like show her teeth and like even go after, like, kind of like the small needling of like, oh, you're not a loser, like, who said I was a loser, like, just bouncing in and out. And then when she like goes off and starts punching Tom Cruise, I think like that was a real good small performance that like I don't think any act, like, I'm pretty sure a lot of other actresses could have done it, but I think it was nice coming from her because I did kind of assume she would be a little bit softer, but that's on me.
Well, I mean, far be it from us to put a woman in a box like that.
That's true.
But I will say that, the movie really tries to frame it so that you think, like, she is the problem, but she really was not the problem.
No.
Like, if I'm with somebody and we're relying on each other financially, and he made a really stupid decision that he didn't consult with you on,
and then doubles down on it,
and it costs him everything, I'd be pretty pissed, you know? And again, she didn't break up with him. She said, listen, I love you and we'll work through it. I'm just mad you did that. And he broke up with her over it.
Right.
So she's not the bad guy.
Yeah, she also doesn't quit. She said, she climbed some fucking mountain.
Yeah, she climbed El Capitan and all that.
Which I think was also cocaine coated.
Yeah.
She said she did. She said, no, she did. I did the nose slope or something up El Capitan. I was like, hey, nose slope. Excuse
me. Hold up.
Just one big line of cocaine. You just get thrown down.
And then you kind of realize that how he treats people and how he thinks about people. What was this?
Or rather, he doesn't think about people. That's the thing. It's everyone ceases to exist to him once they stop serving the what he wants for them to do. Like, he still does not care about Renee Zellweger's. Like, Dorothy did not get a full paragraph in conversation with him because he would interrupt her and be like, I'm so lonely. I can't be alone. I'm so afraid of being alone.
If he didn't look like Tom Cruise, how far do you think it would have gone? If he looked like me and he's like talking that way.
Oh, man, he would have bagged her a while ago. What do you mean?
Good save.
Do you still have the same Tom Cruise levels of charisma?
Yeah, if I have that cocaine
I think you could. I think with the cocaine, I think the cocaine charisma helps him so tremendously.
Like, it carried, like...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, a lot of it is the charisma. I mean, because she was drawn to him just from hearing his story about proposing to the girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, which what was like this girl's crime? What was her crime? She was horny as fuck? She was like, oh, whatever girl he's with must be classy, must be super, super duper classy. And it cuts to them having, like, wild sex, but it's like, you can't be classy and have sex?
Right. Again, that's your fiance. I thought that was like for a minute. I was like, oh, is he banging the girl from the airplane?
Yeah, is that a different girl, maybe? Right, yeah. Like what? No, he's actually in a committed relationship with the girl who's successful in her own right and has a healthy appetite for sex.
Yeah.
What is wrong with that?
It's because it was written by a dude.
Right. Why are
in
we
the
supposed 90s, to
yeah.
Look, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, why are we supposed to look down on this woman? She did nothing wrong.
No.
You know?
It, like, I mean.
She wanted an equal partner.
That video was fucking insane. Right. Like, just imagine, like, you're getting married and this lady tracked down all your exes and, like, do a documentary talking head piece of how he sucks as a dude.
Like, I think,
what's his biggest insecurity? He can't be alone. All right, let's hammer that shit in.
I mean, that might have
been. Let's edit these hard. Back to back. He can't be alone. He's afraid of being
alone. I got Thelma Schumacher. We're going to cut the shit up real hard.
Great at friendship, terrible at intimacy. Great at friendship, terrible at intimacy. Here's your script, by the way.
And all of that is just one last call for help. Like, please, Jerry, this is the problem in our relationship. Please do something about this.
All done by a Yonda Bont crash zoom. Like, here we go.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't even sure. Like, we were uncertain. Like, is this really what's on the screen right now? Is he, like, imagining
Are they David Lynching us? Where they're, like, you know, it's this is an interpretation of, like a subjective interpretation or, like, some sort of weird dream sequence.
Then Dorothy confirms. She was like, I know, I've watched
It, like,
multiple times. Yeah, like, which is...
Was she given notes? It's like, all right, you want to...
That's a crazy thing, though. Like, I couldn't watch a video of my girlfriend's exes talking about her.
Right.
You know and then I mean? Still wanting to be with him despite his glaring, his biggest personality flaw being thrown at you and him actively not working on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, what a... This is like... But the romance of the movie, he's so nice. I think that's supposed to forget all this weird shit.
I think it's hinged entirely on, my kid loves him.
Right.
Yeah.
It hinges entirely on
the
dynamic.
Even from the jump, the first thing he does on the first time he comes over is grope her and try to kiss her.
Right.
Right? And then he, like, pushes himself into her bed, right? It's just...
And then he turns down a mariachi band.
Right.
Which I thought was... You know, because you could see it in his face. It's like, oh, this fucking sucks. But they were
which is
pretty
the same
good.
He had at the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, same band.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, maybe he just didn't like that band. Yeah. But,
I gotta throw a wedding on a budget, so I can need this band.
And he smashes. He has Applejacks with her kid, and then she's like, that was so great what you did this morning. What did he do?
Just... Interrupt your kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't let your kid talk. Hey, how's the morning? Morning's going good. Got a big fax coming in today, buddy. Got to really make sure I nail this client.
He was ultra competitive with the kid. Oh, the human brain weighs.
Oh, yeah, fun fact.
And then it's like, Pete Rose has 4,200 hits. Like, he's fucking two.
Yeah.
He just learned eight, man. Like, give him a break.
Like, meet him where he's at, you know?
It's like,
kid's telling you about his neighbor's cats.
Right.
Like, you...
But also, I feel like if he would have been like, oh, yeah, that's interesting, buddy, I feel like that's a different, like...
That's kind of worse.
Because he's, like, it shows, like, all right, he's playing with the kid. Yeah. Like, his interactions are fucked up, but he's still interacting. Like,
right.
So a lot of myself...
This is the healthiest interaction he can have with a child who can't fully comprehend that he's just steamrolling the conversation.
Right, yeah. It's like, he still likes me after... Like, when this kid turns fucking 16, he's going to hate me, but, like...
Yeah,
holy shit.
That's a problem for Dorothy.
Yeah. He won't be around.
No,
he'll be signing so many clients.
Off. Yeah, this is sticking.
They're gonna have an open marriage by then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, he's signing Katarina Witt. Oh my god, that's who the lady at the end at the interview that he's like, oh hi.
Oh yeah,
she's a figure skater. She was from like the 90s Olympics.
I was wondering. I was just like, is this a character that we've seen before? Like,
yeah, most of the athletes like I were. Like, except for Jerry O'Connell playing that quarterback who never came back, which I would have thought, like, that would have been...
Kush,
yeah.
Like, Cushman, yeah.
I thought maybe he'd be playing against Denver.
Right.
You know, and that Christmas game, and, you know, it's Kush against Tidwell.
I don't think... Because I think they definitely did, like, a lot of matching, so, like, I guess Arizona, I guess this, and this, so... But yeah,
it would have been a more interesting narratively, right. For sure.
Yeah, because then who the fuck is that guy with Jay Moore? Like,
that could have been Kush too.
Yeah,
Jerry O'Connell.
It could have been that would have been a very much better way to tighten this, because it's very much like why did we have this storyline? Right. But I think it's a lot of, that's, I feel like this is also pretty typical of like 90s movies, where it's just like a lot of these like half-baked thirds of a story.
Right.
Just like thrown in right. into a movie that's really already like a tight 90, 120 minutes.
I also found it
really... It's a lot. It's I think it's 2 hours 18.
Oh. Yeah. I find this also...
It could have been tighter then, like, for that yeah. reason.
Like last minute kind of like weird shot in the dark. I found it really weird that Kush's dad was like, well, you're friends with that black man. It's like, your son yeah. plays football.
Yeah, right?
It's the most diverse sport.
You're gonna find black guys.
It's like... What team are you playing on that's like, right. this is a good attitude?
Yeah, white team.
Yeah. You're like, we're going to play for the good old boys up in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Weird. Yeah, that did seem like, you know, that was, yeah, racial, it was a little racial decision there.
Yeah.
Oh, we went with Bob Sugar because you were in the lobby with that black fella.
For so long.
Yeah, like, what, like, also, and then, like, you got to understand your agent has other clients, like...
Yeah, like, exactly.
I felt like, because also with like Rod, him and Rod's relationship, like Rod needed that extra, and that's why it was like so kind of like symbiotic, I guess, where they both kind of needed each other.
Yeah.
And then, but like, yeah, the other ones are just like, I always feel weird. It's like, you understand this is his job, right? His job is like interactions and doing different things, but like if you need him, you could call him. That's why he has the phone and the pager. And
like, you're literally going with a guy who actively sought to take the majority of his clients, so you're not actually going to get as much time for your kid or attention and whatever.
Even Rod seemed like definitely was expecting a little much out of Jerry. As far as just, like, always being there, always being about, always having, like, his best interest in mind. It's just like, dude, like... I mean, granted, part of it is Jerry kind of talking that game of, like, listen, like, I care about you, I love your family, like, I want this to work, this and that, which is, like, you know, probably bullshit. Mm. But at the same time, I feel like I wouldn't expect my agent to be interested in anything but my money.
Yeah, but, I mean, what if it, like, Rod was so, like, abrasive and so demanding because Jerry's like, I want to care about you. It was like, oh, I'm going to make you care. Yeah. And you have to understand what caring is. Mm. Like, caring isn't always just like, hey, man, I care about you. Oh, thanks. No, it's like, you're the person you care about can do some seriously dumb, bad shit.
And you'll still go to bat for it.
I don't think it was intentional, but I agree. I don't think it was intentional on Rod's part, but I think there's very much a lot of aspects of like, oh, you're saying you care about me? All right, well, you're saying you're caring about me in the good times. Let's see you care about me in the rough times.
Right.
And, like, he fucking put him through it. So I think I agree with that. I think there's definitely, like, an aspect of, like, challenge him to see, like, all right, you want me? This is
what it's going to... This is what I come with.
Yeah.
It's like being a Mets fan. It's like, oh, God. There's so much bad shit, but you're still like, you know what? I'm here every fucking day.
Right. Right. But at the same
time... Because you both have Yankee hats in my house, which is...
I took it off.
Out of respect.
Very polite.
My hair's not done. It's
All right, so we're about 57 minutes in.
All right.
You want to give this bad boy a grade?
Yeah, I feel like I enjoyed watching it, but all we really did, we didn't have a lot of good things to say about it.
It's a fun movie to talk about, for sure. Like, I think there's a lot to dissect. There's, like, the characters, the relationships, the storytelling. Yeah. There's a lot there, I think. And in that aspect, I do see why, like, the movie's talked about, but
excuse me.
I don't think it's a landmark piece of cinema the way it's kind of like spoken about.
Yeah, it's not like a movie where you could gush over the cinematography or you could gush over like, I mean, it's a lot of performance driven things, which we did talk about. And also, like, it's one of the problems I have with like comedy movies where I don't try to pick a lot of comedy movies out for this is because you go, oh, remember this scene? And like, that's all it is. Like, all you're talking about is like, oh, here's a recap of it. But I think with something like this where we could kind of dissect, like, here's what the character presents you. Here's what we believe it is. Here's, like, maybe subtext. Here's all the stuff where it's, like, it's so deep. It's so much. It presents a deeper slice of pie than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just shallow as shit. And it's, like, it's fun to kind
of,
like.
Or, like, seeing it from this out, like, the external perspective of, like, yo, Tom Cruise was on one in this movie.
Right, yeah. It's, like, he came in at Mission Impossible 7, Tom Cruise. And he left at... Mission Impossible 5, Tom Cruise. Like, he's fucking going through some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like you said, maybe not the landmark piece of film that we think, like, oh, how did you complete me end up being so,
yeah,
like,
because Secret Garden was playing in the background. It swept up in a lot of emotion.
It seems like maybe it might have just come out at the right time. Might have been the right place, right time kind of movie.
Because I'm thinking of like Love Actually, like that one. I kind of see how that one influenced the genre.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, yeah, everything is now Love Actually. Like, every year we got to get a new holiday-themed movie based on the model of Love Actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the fucking oak tags, you know?
Never seen Love Actually.
Honestly, it's another one that I don't think is like the best rom-com.
Yeah, I think it's... And that's like, I don't think it's... Yeah, I don't... It's very much just like, it's that archetype of the genre in that way. Like,
so this is like the Citizen Kane of romantic comedies, watching Jerry Maguire. And that in itself, we don't see a lot of these things executed as well as we've seen in maybe like a Crazy Stupid Love. Mm. But this is their first time that it's been put onto screen, and it influenced so many others that it should still be watched to be studied and appreciated.
I think if you want to see Tom Cruise just fucking go for it and not see an explosion, this is the movie.
Yeah, this is the best instance of it. Yeah. Help me help you and all of that. Yeah.
So, number grades.
Number grade out of 10. I would give it like a 7. Yeah, not as high on it as I thought it would be. Even though I did like it, I liked watching it.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see an 8. Mm-hmm. Just like I did enjoy like, I enjoyed watching just like the performances. The performances were solid. The characters were written better than were written better than I was expecting going into it. Like I was not expecting Regina King and Bonnie Hunt to like provide such insightful performances and like lines while like doing them in a very like good, like they did it very well.
Yeah.
And like a way that just like it was so well that they weren't even trying to call attention to how good they were, like how well they were doing. Very natural, like very good performances from them. I would give it an 8, I think, for that. I enjoyed watching it.
I'm around a 7.5.
Oh, there you go.
So, like, I think we're all kind of in the same area. I think, I think we were surprised with what we got, but then also surprised with what we didn't. We were kind of disappointed with the stuff we didn't get. Like, we wanted more growth. We wanted more, you know, running. You know, all the Tom Cruise shit that he does.
Yeah, more Tom Cruise
shit. And, like, I think, I wish this movie was more available. Like, it's for rent. Like, you could rent it on, like, I did it for Vudu, Amazon, all that shit, but, like, this is a very good movie. It's done by Cameron Crowe.
Yeah, what else did Cameron Crowe do?
Cameron Crowe, I think he's not Russell Crowe's brother, I'll tell you that.
Okay, there's my guess.
That was my
theory. Vanilla Sky, another Tom Cruise movie. Yeah, he did Almost Famous, Say Anything, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Mm. So let's see what he directs. What do you direct? Director.
For Fast Times, that makes sense. Because some of like the side characterizations are kind of on point. Like Fast Times has a handful of just like characters who are just like, this is a human being. This is a real human being trying to do real human things in a fucking high school sex comedy.
He didn't really do super well. He did We Bought a Zoo and Aloha as his last two movies.
Oh, he did We Bought a Zoo, huh?
Yeah.
Mams was in debt.
Yeah.
He's in director jail right now.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at what he does. He's got that, like, kind of rom-com.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's swing, his niche. Yeah. Like, rom-coms with a hint of a twist.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, go off.
Yeah. Do you.
Yeah. But let's do us.
Okay.
Because I think that is the shoe.
Bang, bang.
Right, guys? Thanks so much for listening to us talk about Jerry Maguire. Right? It's it seems like every movie we do, every Tom Cruise we do, sees him get more and more and more on the edge.
Mm.
Right? And we'll eventually do a movie where he completely falls off, or we'll do a movie that is maybe surprisingly
restrained. Has Tom Cruise ever fallen off?
You know what's funny? His fall off was War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
that's what fucking.
And I'm just like that wasn't even that much. Like,
wasn't a bad movie.
Like, the War of the Worlds was bad because of like the movie, not because of Tom Cruise.
No,
like, Tom Cruise is that's something like I don't has Tom Cruise ever like really like he's always maintained like a certain level of just like A-list stardom. Yeah. Like this is like this is Tom Cruise. If you want Tom Cruise in your movie, if you want your movie to sell, you want Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he's had the controversy, obviously, with, you know, Church of Scientology, yeah. Him being like anti-pharmaceuticals for like depression and shit. He's, you know, and he's a very, in his personal life, he's a fucking weird dude.
Yeah.
And like, we don't condone anything he does personally, but like, as an actor and probably as like a guy who leads film, like he's kind of like a good dude, but he, I know yeah. He's probably a terrible dad.
He's and a terrible human being.
Yeah. He's Jerry Maguire.
Like it's very much, it's a peak Tom Cruise movie because it's just Tom Cruise doing Tom Cruise in this scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what would Tom Cruise do if he were a 90s sports agent?
Right.
Cameron Crowe sitting there, just do you, man. Just do whatever.
That was his entire direction.
Okay. Do you. So I'm going to come in here, my eyes bugged out of my skull. And, like, I'm going to talk to this kid.
Love it.
And then I'm going to grow up his mom's titty.
Yeah.
Cameron Crowe's like, God, I fucking love you.
All right, this will be a one-taker. We'll get this one in one.
Yeah. Get all in one.
Yeah.
Unbroken shot.
Yeah. All right, so, guys, we got our score. We got our shoot. Where can they find us? They can find us on Twitter at Movie Mayhem Pod.
On Instagram at Movie Mayhem Podcast.
Movie Mayhem Podcast at gmail.com.
And on Letterboxd at Movie Mayhem Podcast. Here is the few things that I have done since our last episode. The Sting with Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Yeah, on that Newman kick.
That Newman kick, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah?
It's a fun, like, con movie.
Okay, cool.
Rebel Moon 2. Oof. Wanted to fucking kill myself the whole time.
But wasn't it a Star Wars killer?
We've already gone past an hour.
Okay.
Pulp Fiction I rewatched.
Oh, really?
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which is really good.
Yeah, good. It's got too jacked.
It's Guy Ritchie, right?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie, yeah. And a bunch of beefy boys.
Oh yeah,
beefy
boys. Guy Ritchie's favorite.
Yep. Yeah.
Beefy boys fight in bare knuckle boxing.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Untouchables. And I watched Blown Away with Jeff Bridges and Tommy Lee Jones playing two Irish guys.
Whoa.
And if you think my Irish accent is bad,
it don't.
Boys, I gotta tell you, this movie, awesome. It's fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones. As I was trying to describe it in my head, it's if you remember Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face,
mm-hmm.
Now have him speak in an Irish accent.
Oof, Irish Two-Face.
Yeah. That's all the movie was.
Holy shit. I can't even picture Tommy Lee Jones.
Fucking brilliant. I feel bad
whose idea was it to have Tommy Lee Jones do an accent?
I can't even imagine.
He's the most American man I have ever seen.
That is the most.
And they're like, oh, latte boy, don't go down the old Ember Isle. It's like, that's how you were starting the movie off?
Sheesh.
Love that.
All right.
What's that called?
Blown Away. On HBO Max or Max, whatever.
Oh, it's on Max.
Because it came out the same year as Speed, so like it's about bomb disposal.
Ooh.
Forrest Whitaker's in it, and it's really fucking wild.
Damn. All right, there you go. That's the Movie Mayhem recommendation of the day.
I think, you know what, I might go into Rebel Moon 2, actually. I'm a little upset about it. You know why?
Yeah.